Here. Now we're
Oh,
recording.
Dean, Mazel Tov.
Thank you, thank you. I just realized just now that I should have sent the Zoom bris link to Chabura. I apologize. It was this past Sunday. I apologize.
Wow. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Mazel Tov.
Mazel
I
Tov.
made it to
It's
my
like a shtickle. The
chat.
Mazel Tov is tainted by like a dynamis here that like there's like some pain mixed in here that you didn't send it out to the Chabura, you know?
I am legitimately sorry.
Well, how
No,
do
you
I
it's
cannot.
the it's like actually being mock-bid on not inviting people to a bris, you know? Not like the standard bris announcement
Oh, Shai or Shlomo?
on there. Adin, what's the name?
Itai Hanania.
Itai Hanania, named after someone or?
Named after Chaya's grandmother, Etia Chana.
Oh, very
Oh,
nice.
I thought Hanania was like Kevin or Kyrie or one of those Brooklyn Nets names.
Missing the joke.
But yeah, Dan, how's the baby? How's he doing?
He's good. I'm home now. I'm on a paternity leave for the rest of the week, so there's a chance I'm gonna have to. He's hopefully going down for a nap, but if I have to run at any minute,
You're telling me you work in a yeshiva that gives you paternity leave?
no. So I work in a yeshiva that doesn't give any leave above what the state forces them to give.
It's already in Madrega, Dina de Malchusa. You're already on the left side of the spectrum.
Yeah, but the I'm on. I'm at, this isn't even actually official paternity leave. I just have enough days off that I can take four in a row.
Right. It's true.
Singleton as a well, that's his honorary middle name.
Good stuff. All right, so let's get started here with our limud for today. We're going to start with the tshuva of the Rama, which I think is where we left off. Here on page 47 of the Makoro sheet, the tshuva of the Rama and Siman Kuvav. Anybody get a chance to look at least the important parts of the tshuva? Not everything's important here, but I'll give you the highlights, and you could all feel free to weigh in. Did anybody get a chance to prepare this, or did I forget to tell you to prepare it? Anybody remember?
As usual, you
Did
told us at the 11th hour.
Oh, come on, Cole, stop
No,
it.
I think you mentioned it like at the end of like maybe like one or two chaburas ago, but then like you added more, you gave like other stuff more precedence. So like, I thought like the overrided.
Okay, so let me just walk you through the important parts here very quickly, and then we'll get to the main event for today. Let me just say an overarching theme of what I want to look at today, even though it'll be woven into these mini sugyas, is differences between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar that prima facie are not reducible to Gneiva v'Aveda versus Pshia. So, you know, we're interested in this question about what distinguishes these Shomrim. And so I want to look at some nafkamina that appear to be distinct from the nafkamina of the level of liability for Gneiva Aveda and Onsen, Pshia and Gneiva Aveda. So the Rama in Siman Kuf Vav was asked about the following case. Shomer Sachar, Shehiniach HaPikadon Im Shelo, V'Nisrach B'Teva Im Shelo. So Shomer Sachar was given an item for safekeeping. He puts it together with his valuables in a chest, and the chest goes up in fire. Sounds like the whole house burnt down, or something like that. And this Shomer made a conscious decision. V'hitzil dvar machirim shebecheder zeh shehayasham, v'oso teva lo hitzil, im chayav l'shalim. So he made a volitional choice to, oh, Cole did see it, okay. He made a volitional choice to save his own stuff rather than to save the pikadon. So does that constitute ones, or does that constitute pshia? Does everybody see the question? So the fire seems to be ones, but does the fact that he could have saved the item and that he elected to save his own stuff instead, does that move it to a case of pshia? Now, the Shoel here argues that it's, well, let's see, he says, the Rama himself says, "Bezei yesh ladak deik, me'achar shehitzi la shalov, lo hitzi la sabikadon, efshar denikra posheya." Maybe the fact that he made this conscious choice to save his own, that renders the destruction of the pikadon pshia. And the Rama, I think, concludes that way. Me'achar shehaya yachal lahatzil imratza. The very fact that he could have saved it if he wanted to, that renders a pshia. Afagav dehutzrach lahatzil mamono hanisraf lo b'makam acher einze ones. Even though he didn't save it because he wanted to save his own stuff, nevertheless, that's not enough to render the tragedy or the loss of the bikadon in ones. Now, one proof that the Shoel brought, which is pretty interesting, is from our sugya in Sadi Gimel. The Shoel said, if you're Medayik in Rashi in our sugya, the Gemara said that if the Roeh is able to save the sheep at a cost, and if he is obligated to bear the cost on his own, that would make him Chayeb Be'onsin. That was the language of the Gemara in Sadi Gimel. Does everybody remember that little, that tucked away line in the Gemara? Right, the Gemara said, wait a second, if the Zachari, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm not sure I recall exactly. When we said in the Gemara, it says, oh, where do we find a Shomer Shachar Chayeb Be'onsin? Is that going on the fact that he has to dish out and front the money, or at least in the Havmina, totally pay for the Roem to save? Or is it on the idea that he has to do anything at all, implying if he doesn't, he'll be liable, and he's being liable for the onus? As in, is this Gemara asking about the case where he does pay or the case where he doesn't protect him?
The Gemara here is talking about a case where he does protect them. And before the Gemara said it's just about advancing the money, at the Havamina stage, the Gemara thought the Shomer has to bear the cost. The Shomer Sachar has to bear the cost of saving the sheep. The Gemara said, wait a second, that's crazy. That's tantamount to a Shomer Sachar being Chayeb Be'onsin. So the Shoel said, and he's Medayik and Rashi said, because you're forcing him to rent people, Mishalo, to hire helpers, Mishalo, that makes it Chayeb Be'onsin, right? So the Shoel says, Alma, Imbalo hefsid mizeh karoi ones. That's the interesting diak of the Shoel, right? So he wants to be medayik and Rashi that anytime Shomer is on the hook to save the thing, he's financially on the hook to save the thing, that's the equivalent of making him chayeb onsin, as if the fact that he has to make a monetary sacrifice renders it onsin. And the Rama thinks that's wrong. But let me just say one more thing about the Shoel. The Shoel says, therefore, im hitzil shalo eino chayiv. In our case of the fire, where the Shomer elects to save his own stuff, that's a kind of ones, because anytime he would be forced to lose his own property to save the pikadon, that's onsen. That's the diak of the Shoel. The Rama doesn't like it. He says, zemen atema, dehasam ein ha-hefsed hu ha-ones, Raka trefa min hazev, badrisa min ha'ari hu ha'ones. So the Rama's argument is that the Shoel mislocates the ones in the Gemara's Havamina. The Shoel thought it has to do with the Shomer bearing the financial burden. That's what would render it ones. And the Rama says, no, what makes it ones is the external description of the event, like the fact that a wolf is preying on the pack. That's what renders it ones. And the Gemara is saying, if a Shomer would have to spend money to save it in that case, we're essentially holding him liable for the wolf ones. It's not the shelling out money to save it that renders it ones. Does everybody see the machlokas between the Ramah and the Shoel? I think it's just like an interesting debate. Okay. That's point one that I wanted to make in the Ramah. Just like an interesting question, how do we define ones? When you have these two courses of action, one of which will lead you to have Sid Mamon, does that render the loss of the Pikadon into an ones, or is that still Pshia? Everybody okay with that dialectic between the Shoel and the Ramah? Okay. Now the Ramah comes down strong saying that it's Pshia. And this is what's so fascinating. He says, "B'makom de yuchal lahatzil, af sheyagia lo hefsid gadol, mi yomar de mikri ones." If you're going to suffer some loss, But you're still able to save the thing. That's not onus. And the Ramah now tries to prove it from the next Mishnah, which we're going to look at the end of today. V'hachi amru zev eino onas. The Mishnah says zev echad eino onas, right? Kelev echad eino onas. Afilu b'shas mishlachas zeivim. Even if like these wolves are running loose, we'll talk about that in the Mishnah. Afal gav dibivada yucha lahagia lo nezek mizev begufo kol shekein b'mamono. He thinks the Mishnah there says that if one wolf is threatening the pack, that's not considered onas. The shomer is expected to stand his ground to fend off the wolf, or at least try to scare it away. Even though there's a possibility that the shomer will be injured from his defending the flock. So alachas kama v'kama, it will not be considered onas if he's just going to suffer some financial loss to save the pikadon. That's the Ramah's proof from this Mishnah. Pretty interesting proof. I mean, you might argue about the mitzias, you know, is the shomer expected to suffer any injury to save the pikadon? But the Ramah thinks yes. The Ramah thinks that the Mishnah expects him to stand his ground, even at the risk of incurring some injury. And therefore, the Ramah concludes a shomer always has a duty to watch the item, even if it's going to come at the cost of his personal welfare. Good so far? Okay. And then he says, L'chein nirali shezel mikri pshia. Based off this evidence, it's considered pshia for the shomer to save his own property rather than to save the pikadon. That's the Ramah's conclusion. Now notice, the Ramah's case is a case of a shomer sachar. Going back to the language of the question was b'masha shal b'din shomer sachar shenyachah pikadon. In the Ramah's conclusion, he says l'chein nirali shezem mikri pshia. Now, the interesting question that emerges is what would the Ramah say in a case of a shomer chinam? So he argues that a shomer sachar who saves his own property at the expense of the pikadon rather than the pikadon is pshia. Would you draw the same conclusion for a shomer chinam? Anybody have thoughts on that? It's interesting, just interesting legal question. He calls it pshia.
I mean, based off his analysis and just seeing this 1 second ago, I don't know, I would speculate that since it's based off the idea of, you know, shomer chinam b'chinam, shomer sachar b'sachar, and the duty to be matzil is different for each of them. And the shomer sachar b'sachar, I guess he's kind of reading that as even like mabamono, as in his obligation to save is even in the presence of likely costs. I'm not shanking the shomer chinam has a duty to save if he can, but not in a place where it'll incur any cost whatsoever to him. So I think, I don't know, just based off that one principle, I think it would be, he's actually totally not pushed out in any regard.
So you want to say drawing on the model of Shomer Chinam B'Chinam, Shomer Sachar B'Sachar, that we define Pshia differently for the Shomer Sachar than we do for the Shomer Chinam. Right.
And actually, the Rambam actually already said this in that case exactly. As he said, if the Shomer Sachar doesn't hire people, he's Poshea. Obviously, if the Shomer Chinam doesn't hire people, that's what we expected.
Very good. So look here. We have a machlokas between the Shach and the Nesivis. So the Shach says, he cites the Rambam and the Tshuva. That's this here. Chin Kasav Arab B'Tshuva Simen Kufvav. That since you're able to save the chayfets and you decided to save your own stuff instead, it's not considered onas. Ayin sham sheherich b'rayos nechonos. So the Shach gives the Ramah a thumbs up. V'yesh l'daktik midvarav de'afim haya shomer chinam chayev de'mechshev le'kipshia. So the Shach here goes against Zecharia, right? And he hones in on the Ramah's formulation of Mechshav Kipshia, Havalei Kipshia, and infers, therefore, that even a Shomer Chinam would be Chayiv for choosing to save his own property over the Pikadon. Right? So, pretty, Zecharia, how do you feel to have the Shach going against you?
mean, I hope there's other people later in the Makor sheet, but I'm happy with the Mikol Mokom Tzarafian. He throws me a
ball. Yeah, right. He does. He Makom Iniach L'Acherim to disagree with him. So the Nesivus disagrees with the Shach. The Nesivus quotes the Shach, and he says, he cites him, and then he says this. Hama'ayin b'tshuvas Ramah, Yireh mikol rayosav, Da'atam hu divishomer sachar, kol shelo higia ha'ones legufo shel chefetz, rak legufo shel shomer, have kipshia neged gufo shel chefetz. So, I mean, he points out that the rayos that the Rama brings are all rayos from Shomer Sachar cases. Okay. And he says that's because we define Pshia differently for a Shomer Sachar. For a Shomer Sachar, he thinks, the only type of ones that would exempt Shomer Sachar is one that is but what's the point here? Shomer Sachar shel Hegiah Ones Legufo shel Chefetz. Yeah. You need the ones to hit the item itself. That's the only time that something will constitute an ones in Shomer Sachar cases. But if the ones affects the Shomer in some way, that's not like the gavra of the Shomer. That's not a true ones. And therefore, if the ones doesn't affect the Chefetz directly, have a kipshia neged gufo shel Chefetz. Okay, pretty interesting argument. The important part is his, and he points out, as Zachariah said, v'chein b'sif yud aleph, in the sif yud aleph case, if you look at sif yud aleph, that's the shomer chinam b'chinam shomer sachar b'sachar. There the Shulchan Aruch said, if the shomer sachar doesn't save it b'schar, it's pshia. And there we know that a shomer chinam is not chayav to do a b'schar. He says, "V'chein b'sif yud aleph kari le lagabe shomer sachar pshia, after lagabe shomer chinam nikra onas." Very important observation that we have a different hagdara of pshia for shomer sachar than for shomer chinam, and he's hanging his hat on that sif yud aleph, which, as Zacharia pointed out, really comes from the Rambam, and he proceeds to say, "Look, all the rayos that the Rambam brought are rayos from shomer sachar cases, not from shomer chinam cases." So I think what we get here in this machlokas between the Shach and the Nesivus is very foundational. They're basically arguing about whether we think there are, at least in this case, whether we view Pshia differently between the different categories of Shomrim. According to the Shach saying, hey, once it's Pshia, that will mean that that means that a Shomer Chinam is going to be liable, right? So we have to have like some consistent Hagdara of Pshia throughout these different categories. And then Nesivus is saying, no, there's more that differentiates the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar than simply Geneva Aveda versus Pshia liability. Another important difference between these Shomrims is that we conceptualize Pshia differently across the different categories. Anybody have thoughts on this? This either the machlokas itself or my characterization of the debate between the Shach and the Nesivus?
So an external question is, sure, at the end of the day, who ends up incurring the costs after the act is actually done? Does it remain with the actual Shomer, or is it now covered by the Baal Bayis?
Meaning you're saying in a case where the Shomer did not save his own stuff.
Right.
And save the Bailam stuff, could he recover the value of his losses from the owner?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think, yeah, like going back to the Gemara on the Sadi Gimel, where like theoretically it goes up to the cost of the value, like up to the value of the actual flock.
Yeah. It's a really good question. I think like the economic argument is to say, yeah, he should be able to recover, the Shomer should be able to recover his losses from the Bailim up to the value of the Bailim's Chefetz. No?
Right.
Does anybody agree with that, Diak? I mean, that's a Zacharia's point about analogizing the Sreifa case with the Shomer Chinam B'Chinam, Shomer Sachar B'Sachar, right? That you have to advance money for the Baal HaBayis, which you could then recover from him.
Right. But like, so if that is the interpretation, that works, I think, well according to the Shah, from the perspective of equating them, because at the end of the day, no one's bearing any additional costs. At the end of the day, the costs that are truly being bared by the Baal HaBayis. So what is it to you if you give up $100 now to get it back the next day?
So you're saying that's why it makes sense to obligate the Shomer Chinam to do this, because he would recover his losses, or at least up to a certain amount, from the Baal HaBayis.
Right. Unless, of course, right, the other perspective is, no, is there some additional value that he has to dish out? In which case, it starts to make sense to actually differentiate between the Shomer Sechar and a Shomer Chinam. Because yeah. Then within the payment, there's this assumption that, no, you're bearing additional liabilities on my behalf.
Yeah. Good point. So let me just say a little more about that based off Adam's comment. I think the fact that the Shomer, so it's an interesting difference now, right? So a Shomer Chinam, we know, is, at least according to the Nesivos, is not expected to lose his own property to save the Pikadon. A Shomer Sachar, at least to some extent, is expected to do so, right? So we have this important nafkamina between Shomer Chinam Bechinam, between the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar. Like, to what lengths are they expected to go to preserve the Pikadon? Okay. Any thoughts on that, or we're all good? Good. So, Cole, you have a thought on that or no?
I'm trying to think how sympathetic I am to the view that it's not ones if it's the case the Ramah is dealing with doesn't count as ones. In other words, the Gemara, what the Gemara requires of a of the owner of the property being stewarded. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? I'm sorry. Okay. What the Gemara requires of the owner of the property being stewarded is that he compensate the steward for the shomer for costs incurred. I guess, like, do you count how much? Do you count this as like a cost? What kind of cost are we asking the shomer? Is the Ramah asking the shomer sachar to incur in order to save the stuff that he's obligated to save? Or just talk? Everybody stop it. I'm sympathetic to the view that, like, it's unreasonable to ask somebody to let their house burn down in order to save properly. That's a kind of the ones mamon. There's a whole question: is there such a thing as ones mamon? It comes up in the Gittin literature around like Rav Willig's. Like Rav Willig's whole prenup is one of the things it deals with. Is like, is there such a? To what extent is a knas or something like that ones? And it seems reasonable that you should not have to like impoverish yourself in order to execute this particular duty.
Cool, but just as a parallel to consider, while like I think this is something worth investigating, but just like to throw back to the beginning of the year's Chaburos, right? This is not so different than like a Poel who, you know, like Achwani Chorev the Karach Balaila has some kind of like responsibility above and like almost like a moral responsibility above and beyond just the like pattern of activity we're assuming they would take on, right? Like a shomer is getting paid to do something. You're a shomer sachar, right? And I think this like right. is why Zachary's point is good, and I think it's very meduyak. And I think in the next Gemaras that we're about to see, it'll be even more meduyak. But I think like that the idea is that it's not just you're like playing a role as a shomer and also getting compensated. It's that compensation forces you to incur significant other responsibility that might show up in the form of costs. It might show up in the form of shmira. It might show up in the form of like a bunch of different forms.
But that seems precisely what the Gemara doesn't allow. In other words, at the end of the day, the Shomer Sachar, if I read the Gemara Bava Metzia correctly, I would think at the end of the day, the Shomer Sachar ends up in the black. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's not in the red, right?
Right. So does the right? He ends up right. So does the Ramah? So let me just ask, the people a question. Would the Ramah say that? Let's say he did, okay, save the thing he was stewarding at the expense of his own property. Would the Ramah say that the owner of the thing that he was stewarding be liable for compensation?
I mean, if he saved the...
Let's say he saves the thing he's stewarding and he lost whatever, however much...
Right, that was Adam's... I think that was Adam's point, right? Adam's right. That if you think it's analogous to the Roah Shehichtim B'maklos, then he could recover those expenses from the Baal HaBayis. But Adam, that was...
Yeah, in which case, I think it's just a question overall of cost minimization. Are you minimizing the overall externalities?
Right, but I would also say even further, Cole, because the Shomer could always make the prudential decision or the rational decision to say, look, my stuff is more valuable. I'm a Shomer, Shomer Sachar and a Timex, but I'd rather save my Rolex and pay out the damages on the Timex. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think there's ever a case where the Shomer... is that I could be forced to take a major hit because of his chiyuv shmirah.
Right? It just strikes, yeah.
Worst comes to worst, he makes the rational choice to pay out damages on the pikadon and save his more valuable property.
This just strikes me as a kind of like a, an act. My intuition is that the owner would not be required to compensate the guy for losing his stuff, because how could the owner basically, because like there was a fire, right? So and we're gonna hold the owner. It just seems like an act of God all around, and we shouldn't say the, like, I think I'm more concerned with the origin. Maybe this is what I'd say. I am more concerned with the reason why the Shomer is being put in this situation than I am with what the potential loss of his own property counts as vis-a-vis, on the negligence scale. And my intuition is that we should be able to answer this question by just figuring out, by just kind of putting pressure on the question of whether we think it would be just to require the owner to compensate in case of loss. And the more, and then that will actually answer the question of whether it's ones. Because if we're not going to hold the owner liable, then I don't think in the one case, then I don't think we can hold the shomer liable in the other case. Yeah, it's just it's out of both of their hands, you know.
It's interesting, yeah.
Anyway,
so I want to move now to the second nafkamina here between shomer chinam and shomer sachar. Shua, did you want to take us through the Gemara and Tzadi Gimel and Beis?
Sure.
Sure. All right,
so
go for it.
That's a new opportunity for me. Evo ifgid kisna beirunya. So there's this guy who leaves his stuff at Runya's house. Azal shevo shamte mine, and someone comes and steals it.
By the way, I feel like beirunya is the origin of the yeshivish is in bai. By runya. What? No?
Why he left it by Runya and Shabo came and stole it from him. Yeah.
That's right.
Right. So Fukaraganov. Also commentary of Nachman Chayev. So Nachman was Mechayev the Shomer. And so the Gemara says, Lehman Pliga Derefuna Bar Oven. Right. So how
one second. So here it sounds like we're talking about a Shomer Chinam. The Rishonim all assume this is a Shomer Chinam case. Rashi says Runya was a Shomer Chinam.
Right.
And so just say a little more.
Wait. It doesn't sound like it's a Shomer Chinam. The Hemshach of the Gemara makes it sound like it's a Shomer Chinam. Right. Like that's where the Rishonim get it from, right? Because like the Gemara Baba Kama, like why we think this is a Machlokas, like why we think this is Cholek on Rafuna Bar Oven, right?
Yeah, right. It could be that they infer it from just the Stira, right? The Gemara is setting up the Stira. That's true.
No, I mean, I think that that's important because, like, it sets kind of like our. I mean, I think that that's the like obvious way to read the Stira, but it didn't have to be the obvious way to read the Stira. And
correct. I wonder if the Rishonim assume that Mafgid Stam is Shomer Chinam. That's kind of the sense I'm getting. I could be wrong.
Especially for inanimate objects. Now that was like from Ban al Torah. A lot of people seem to think that any sort of, you know, just depositing a stationary object, which doesn't require any work, you're not really paying them.
So, yeah. Right, the default is to view it as like
It's also not like gold bars. Like, it's not super valuable material. It's flat. Right.
So let me, so just frame, so sure you can take us through this in a second, but so just to frame the issue here, we know that a shomer chinam is, could always take a shavua and be pater, shavua shelo pashaba, and then he's pater, right? Now, this is a case of geneva. Shomer chinam is pater from geneva, uncontroversial. Why should his liability be different if lasof hukar aganov, right? The Gemara here is assuming that if the item is still retrievable from the ganav, that somehow is a reason to either hold the shomer liable or impose the obligation of going after the item on the shomer. Right, Shua?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So take us through that, Shif.
Okay. So Gemara says this psak of Rav Nachman, lema pleaded the Rav Hunabar Oven. Maybe he's being cholik on Hunabar Oven. Deshach Rav Hunabar Oven. Nignava the onas va'achar kach hukar aganav. So nignava the onas, which is kind of like presumptuous that that's what happens here, but we kind of like the Rishonim are all going to explain why shamte is maybe a case of gneva onas. But so here he's potter.
By the way, I said by gneva onas, I think they're thinking that it's listed mizuyin.
Yeah, everyone says that, right? Because
on the assumption that that's like gzela. So it's not like a gneva vaveda liability. They're assuming this is like pure ones, right? There's like a pure ones type gneva.
There's also like, yeah, there will be nafkaminas also, right? For kefal and things like that are probably like very relevant to this.
Yeah, no one mentions that until being Yonasan. It's kind of weird about the kefal.
Yeah. Well, I think the kefal would like, whatever. We'll talk about it, I guess, when we get there. But, So if he's a shomer chinam, he has two options according to the pasha read in the Gemara, which is that either he can swear and just like shlo shlo pashaba, and the other ones, by the way, Itamar, and then he'll be pater. Exactly. And if he wants, he could just like take the guy to court and deal with him. Right. But if he's shomer sachar, he doesn't have this right to nishba, to swear. He just has to kind of like handle with it.
Right. And so I want to zero in on this shita of Rav Huna bar Rabin. I think Mara obviously ends up accepting the stira and says, "Oh yeah, right. It can't be that he disagrees with Rav Huna bar Rabin." So you have to reinterpret our case as a case of like gross shia. You know, that he could have easily raised his voice and screamed and the soldiers would have saved in the Runya case. So that's why our case is Shia. Yeah. But what do you make of the Rav Huna bar Rabin's distinction here between the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar? I think that's what's really interesting for our purposes, right? Why is it in both cases, the Shomer should really be Potter, right? He should, let's use that side, right? So he should be Potter because it's a case of Onas. And both the Shomer Sachar and the Shomer Chinam are pater ba'onsin. Yet, in the Gemara says there's something different about Hukar Aganav. When we know who the Ganav is, there's some reason to make the Shomer go after the Ganav. But the Gemara distinguishes between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. So I'm interested, what's the tzad to distinguish between them, right? Why should the difference of Hukar Aganav break down along Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar lines? I thought the difference just has to do with Gneva Veda versus Shia liability. So do you have thoughts on this, Shua?
I mean, I think we'll have some good sources that will help us with this. But I do think that my initial reaction is kind of like what we were talking about before, which is that there's like a different, like specifically, from like a pecuniary perspective, there's like presumptions that Shomer Sachar has to outweigh in ways that Shomer Chinam does not. Like we're just like not afraid to ask Shomer Sachar to like put in some work.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. Meaning the halacha here is basically saying, we're saying there's more to the difference between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar than Gneva Veda versus Pshia. This case being one of the Nafkamina where a Shomer Sachar has the added burden of pursuing the ganav, even in a case where he's pater. So the halacha is not afraid to say, look, you're being paid. You have these greater responsibilities. One of those greater responsibilities is to have the headache of suing the ganav and recovering the item on behalf of the ba'alim, even in cases where in principle you ought to be patur. I know that last clause is controversial, but we'll talk more about it. Whereas
whereas
the Shomer Chinam, we say like, no, like he's doing you a favor or something. So we make it easy for him to extricate himself from the burden of pursuing the God. And we say, oh, you know, he's Pater in this case. Well, obviously it'll become a little more nuanced when we look at the Gemara and Bavakama Kuches, but that's what we have from here. But go ahead, Shua.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know I wasn't such a fan of it back in the day, but I think this like looks like an insurance type thing, right? Where like your payments to the Shomer Sachar create some kind of like responsibility of his to like return this object to you, right? Like some relationship, like again, like monetary relationship. Whereas the Shomer Chinam is like, he doesn't have any responsibility to give the thing back. He just has a responsibility not to be poshaya, because like he said he wouldn't be poshaya, so now he like can't be poshaya.
Yeah, you're saying that like the interesting. So like take a burn security guard, right? Washington Heights fame, right? You would never think that guy has a responsibility. Well, it's an interesting question. To manage the legal case against the guy who breaks into YU, right? Like his duty is to not let the guy in the door, right? Like if something gets stolen from YU, it's an interesting question, actually. I don't know what burns the scope, but it's definitely not the guy at the door who's in charge of like handling the legal file against the perpetrator. Yeah, does that make sense? And Shu is saying, that's the Shomer Chinam paradigm. He's tasked with a job. His job is to, you know, ex ante Shmira. Once you go beyond that, once requiring the Shomer to pursue the legal action, he's clearly more than just that type of watchman to protect something from happening, right, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I think it like is, again, I think we have to like comb through this, and I'm not willing to like hitch my car to this just yet, but I think like the way you would say it is a Shomer Sachar is mechoyev to return the thing no matter what, and then there's like a special petura of onus that like we can relate it back to the Baal Bayis or say that like this could have happened anywhere or any of those kind of like language, and therefore the Shomer Sachar is potter in that case. But like the baseline is that they're chayv to give it back. And that's why Gnei Vaveda, which are like not, you know, just like straight Pshia, you're still chayv for. And that's why it's different than Shomer Chinam. And by the way, maybe that's why there's a difference, like the Ramah's chilek between an onus on the gabra and an onus on the chafsa makes sense, because like you don't have that excuse when it's like an onus on you, right? Like you have to give the thing back. This has nothing to do with the violin, right? Whereas opposed to like if it gets hit by lightning, like that could have happened anywhere.
Yeah. This definitely all points to like this major distinction between the Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, and like the Shomer Sachar is like this different category with different rules, not just a higher amount of chiyuv shmira, right?
Right.
Not just a duty to take precautions against more risks, as you might have thought from the Mishnah of, oh, that's what it means, chayav for Gnei Vaveda. Correct. Gabe, you wanted to respond to Shua?
Yeah, I was going to say that I'm not fully convinced by this. Like, you could definitely read this as just a stronger obligation to retrieve the actual chayfets that you borrow, right? So if that's the duty of the Shomer Chinam, this might be a primary duty, not a secondary duty. Whereas like, unless you take Rashi's approach where he has to front the payment and then retrieve the object, that sounds more like what she was saying. But if he's just sort of chasing down the object to bring back the thing, the nifkad, or the item to the owner, I'm not sure this fits the insurance paradigm.
Oh, so we have to figure out what exactly is the trigger of the chiyuv of going after the ganav when he can, right? So let's look at some of the formulations that we've shown him here. Let me just take us quickly to the Gemara on Kuf Ches in Bava Kama. I think that Gemara injects a bit of a monkey wrench into the cleaner presentation of the Gemara and Bava Metzia Tzadi Gimel, but I don't think it substantially alters the underlying principle that emerges from Rav Huna Bar Avin. So I think the major difference in this case, anybody want to take us through Kaf Kes? Did anybody get a chance to prepare Kaf Kes? Shua, you got it still?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, tell us about Kaf Kes.
Yeah. So a similar case, we'll just read it quickly. Itmar Nignavav Onas Vukaraganov, so it's not a story, it's just a memra. Amar Abayim Shomer Chinom Hu Rata Osim Odin Rata Nishbam Shomer Socher Hu Osim Odin Veino Nishba, like we had.
That's nice. That's very clean. That works nicely with our Gemara. This what seems to be a fundamental clean distinction between Shomer Chinom and Shomer Socher.
Right. And this is, I mean, the Gemara says it in a second, but like this is Rav Huna Bar Avin, right? Like Abay is just
exactly like,
word for word. It's weird that fine. Rava Amar Echad Zeh Echad Zeh Osim Odin Veino Nishba. So Rava throws the monkey wrench in and he says, no, even Shomer Chinom not. Lema, pliga the Rav Huna Bar Avin, the Shach Rav Huna Bar Avin, Nignav of Ones, Behukar Aganov, Im Shomer Chinom Hu Rata Osi Imodin, Rata Nishba, Im Shomer Sacher Hu Osi Imodin, Beino Nishba. Amal Harava, Hachob Mayaskinon, Kigon Shekhadam Nishba. The case of Rav Huna Bar Avin is where he swore already. So he can either like stick with that. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like he has options. So if he already swore, he's like cleans his hands from the whole thing and can kind of like you know, just like leave if he so chooses, or he could osimodin. But if he's still like part of the process, if he's still kind of like there, he hasn't sworn yet, then he, once they find the gun, if he loses that option. It's also Rava who says the Hachma Eskin in Bava Metzia, right? I think.
Here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Rishonu, which is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, the Rishonu kind of point this out. It's like, why isn't the Gemara here talking about the Gemara inside the Gimel talk about Shavua? It's an interesting discussion there. I want to stay focused here on, so what does this add? So Rava's view. So I think A, the Hava Mina, or at least the substantive shita that even a Shomer Chinam has a obligation to go after the Ganav in a case of Hukar Ganav. You might have thought, why is it rational to be Matriach a Shomer Chinam? But when there's no Shvua, when he has not yet sworn, he has a duty to go after the Ganav. So there's parity between the Shomer Chinam and Shomer Safar. But there's an important difference in the case where a Shvua was already taken before the Ganav was discovered. There we say a Shomer Sachar must nevertheless still pursue the Ganav. But a Shomer Chinam, if he already took a Shvua, he is exempted from going after the Ganav. So you still, even within Rabba, you get the substantive difference between a Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar in a case of Kidei Benishban. Correct? Everybody? So I want to probe a little more about what this difference between the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar is. And the underlying theory as to why the Shomer has to go after the Ganav. So one nice formulation comes from the Rashba here on Kaf Kes. Zachariah, did you get a chance to see the Rashba?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about the Rashba's main, what's like the Rashba's main point here?
So his main point is he disagrees with Rashi. Rashi reads the whole Gemara as whenever the phrase Osa Imodin, that means first the Shomer fronts the cost to the Bailim of the Gadon, and then he chases after the Ganav, takes him to court, and pockets what he gets from the Ganav. The Rashba thinks that's untenable, and just the facts of the Shita is that he concludes that anytime it says Osa Imodin, there's no money changing hands, it's just purely about a question of the tircha that the Shomer has to go to Beis Din and extract from the Ganav and then hand that over to the Bailim. But the Shomer, neither Shomer Chinam nor Shomer Sachar, is ever responsible to front the money.
Exactly. So this is an interesting thing. It's not clear if Rashi really meant what the Rashba is imputing to him. So it's an interesting question in the postgame whether there really is a doctrinal difference between Rashi and the Rashba. But the way the Rashba interprets the Sugya is we're talking about who gets shouldered with the tircha of going after the Ganav, right? That's really the crucial question. Is that the Bailam's responsibility or is that the Shomer's responsibility? We're not talking about like real liability. It's just about the Tirchav going after the Ganav. Who has that headache? Rav Zecharia?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what does he say? I think this thing over here is very interesting.
So Bishlom Litroach Vladunim Aganav, Efshar Lomar Dechayev, Afilu Shomachinam. So, but he thinks it works. Okay, to say that all, we demand of the Shomer Chinam that he puts in some effort to go to court, that's reasonable to claim that the Shomer Chinam is responsible to do that. The Sofo Tzitzli Lasso, that this end-like case is comparable to an earlier-like case. Very enigmatic. He says, Ilu Yada V'Hikir Bo B'Shaskaneva Haylo L'Troch V'Lamon Kedekar L'Hatzil. Because if the Shomer Chinam knew that this thief was coming and knew all about it, he has a response. He has an active duty to do some effort, put in some effort, and be matzil if he can. Right? Shomer chinam b'chinam. Vim lo asa kein chashvina leik poshea. And if he doesn't do that hatzala, he's negligent. Hilkach sofo nami b'shach hukvar haganav afilu shomer chinam yatriach v'yadin im haganav v'yatzil miyado. Therefore, even at the end of this whole case, in which the ganav is found, the shomer chinam also has to go to the effort to don with the ganav and save it from him.
So I think this is extraordinarily insightful. And the Rashba's arguments, Zachary, why don't you tell us, or somebody else has a gloss on this, what's the core of the Rashba's argument? And what's the core of the Rashba's argument here? What's he saying? Like, what's the intuition which he's resisting? And it all turns on the Sofo Kitzchilaso thing. I think that's like the key move.
I mean, if I don't mind taking it just to like kind of like the way I kind of broke down his argument, I say kind of like the first step is the Rashba identifies that Shomer has a general duty lahatzil, right? He has a general responsibility lahatzil. This can involve having to do active tircha. Number two, that's obviously applied when the object is under the domain of the Shomer.
Ex ante.
Yeah.
Ex ante meaning the cutoff line being the event of it being taken.
Yeah. And I think he's forfending a lot of things you might say. You might say, okay, once it's stolen, which the Shomer Chinam is putter for, maybe he's not even a Shomer. He has no relationship to the object. He's quashed his hands of the whole circumstance.
That's right.
And certainly you have no extra still remaining duties to the object. Even if you want to say he's still a Shomer Chinam in the technical sense, you might say his case has been closed.
Exactly. I think there's an intuition which says there's this the act of taking, the act that hits the object is some magical terminus where like he's a shomer, he has duties up until that point, but like once the thing is taken, that triggers chayv or pater. Right? It's like a computer program, like the program is triggered by like you know, when the object, like when the finger of the ganav touches the thing, and then it has to spit out like an output of chayv or pater in that case. And like from then on, it's just like an answer. We're just applying chayv or pater. And the Rashba's argument is like, wait a second. Let's like go through the slow motion of the event, right? So the burned security guard is there. He sees the ganav trying to break into the Gluck Center. Clearly he has a responsibility to stop him from getting in the door, right? And then like, wait a second. And then you say, okay, now let's imagine the Ganav gets into the building, right? Does the burn security guard still have a duty to run after him? What's the answer? Yeah, of course, right? Now let's say the burn security guard like got his hand on the tzedakah box on the bima, right? And he's running out of the building. Does the burn security guard have a duty to stop him from like exiting the building with the tzedakah box? Yes, right? And he's like, well, now imagine that the guy got out of the building and he's turning left on 185th to go onto Amsterdam Avenue. Does the burn security guard have a duty to pursue him down Amsterdam Avenue? Yes, right? For sure. So now imagine he got away from Amsterdam Avenue. He's in the police precinct. Does the burn security guard have to go down to the precinct to get it back from him? Like, yes, it's all the same thing, right? Just that, I think that's the argument of the Rashba, like sofo kitzchilaso. There's no reason to distinguish between like the magical event of the fingers of the ganav closing in on the item. really like the Chiyuv Shmira, it persists and survives beyond that. Skyra, you agree with my colorful reconstruction?
Yeah, no, and I agree. I think it's both Mechudash, but also very reasonable.
Yeah. Now, I would say it's so reasonable that it's like hard to understand why we should distinguish between a Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar on those grounds then. But Evan,
and the Rosh was commenting in Bava Kamma where we don't.
I know, even though we only do with respect to Shvua, right, in Bava Kamma.
Yeah, like Bidi Evan.
Right, right. But even that needs explanation, right? Why you can't, you like, why should Bidi Evan Shvua work for Shomer Chinam but not for Shomer Sachar if the whole argument is Sofo Ketchilaso, right? Evan, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I do understand like the colorful construction that you made. We're showing that there's really like no limit to this. I think there's like the mitzvah of lasar akar aveda kind of thing. But if we, you know, take the beginning of Shir and say, well, there is some sort of difference between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, like maybe you would say like, no, the security guard doesn't, you know, if he's a, or I would say like, I don't know, like a bystander who's just a Shomer Chinam doesn't need to go chase him down. Like there's, if we're kind of just drawing lines in the sand, like, I don't know, like sort of just Shia bit or like whatever, Ones, Bich, Kefetz, Versones, Bigneva, like Bich, Guch, like why can't we just say something similar here?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I agree. I would just say, Evan, I agree that you could make that distinction. Kind of like Shua was suggesting earlier, right? The whole point is the Shomer Chinam, you know, we're matriachim less. So he just has to like be an ex-ante line of first defense, but he's not expected to be ex-post recovery, something like that, right? But
yeah.
Go ahead. Does that sound plausible, Evan?
Yeah.
But even that, I think, is really interesting because then we're saying there's this qualitative difference between a Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar that doesn't reduce to Pshia versus Gneva Veda, unless magically you'll think that Pshia is all about ex ante, and like you can't be Poshea ex post. The stars would have to align to make that type of claim, which just strikes me as like a little arbitrary. So, right, so to my mind, this would push us towards saying, wow, like a Shomer Chinam, his duties are just qualitatively different from those of a Shomer Chinam. In a manner that's irreducible to Gneva Veda versus Shia. Now, just to say a little more about this, notice the Rashba himself, when he does this Sofo Kitchilaso illustration, he's trying to explain why Afilu Shomer Chinam Yatriyaf Yadin in Maganev Yatzom Yada. Right? So I think the mental exercise that the Rashba is engaging in to say, hey, there's no distinction between ex post and ex ante, is precisely to motivate why a Shomer Chinam should be chayiv to do the salvage operation, right? Yeah. Gabe, you have a thought on this, or no, it's all good? Shua, does it sound good? Okay. Sound good?
Yeah, this is pretty reasonable. I like this.
Okay, good. Shua?
I agree, also. Thanks.
Okay,
great. Pretty good.
Now,
go back to Rashi for a second.
Yeah, Rashi.
Yeah, what do you make of Rashi's language of mitzvah and the third to last paper of Maspa, Osei Modin? Akira and I were wondering about this.
Yeah, as opposed to Chiyuv.
Yeah, that sounds like it's an optional duty or not central to his responsibilities as a shomer.
The Rubelstein Rosenzweig et al. In the upcoming Torah law. You know,
that's right. Yeah, it's an interesting formulation. What does it mean? The mitzvah alav lachzar achar aveda. Does this mean like it's not me'ikar chiyuvei shomrim? That's what you're saying, Gabe. You're saying it's like a weaker type of obligation. Yeah. Did you guys see anything on that, or just being medayik in the language?
Yeah, we were just being medayik in the language, but it seems at odds with the Rashba a little bit.
Yeah.
Consider it to be a primary duty, and like a nachmina would be like what? Let's say he refuses to do this. Would that be a breach of his contract or would that just be a failure to fulfill some kind of secondary positive moral value duty that's imposed on him?
I don't find that at all. Like, I wouldn't even make that deal. I think, like, mitzvah, Allah Lachzer Achar Aveda sounds, like, pretty strong to me, actually. Like, right. It's, like, built into the halachos of this. It's not just, like, you know, something that, like, is, or, like, it's not like, oh, it just makes sense that he's, like, the, you could have said, like, oh, Misvaro, he's the last person to have the object. He's, like, the one who has, like, the easiest case because the, like, list of museum interacted with him. But here it's, like, from his relationship to the Aveda.
Right. I mean, sure, you're saying you wouldn't downplay mitzvah here, right? It's not, he's not walking into like Or HaChaim, you know, just for this, in this Dibur HaMasko. He's saying like, this is Chosh Mishpah, bona fide Chiyuv Shomrim.
Yeah, I mean, why is it called an Aveda? That's a different question.
Right. I want to look, I'm going to look at the, you know, I have the Bava Kama Raza Deshabsi, you know, the Mafteach. I'll take a look if anybody has that Diak in Rashi there. It's usually my Shabbos reading to, like, you know, look through, like, the highlights of Raza Deshabsi. But it's Kuf Chesem Bava Kama. I have the Raza Deshabsi somewhere here, so I'll look that up, see if anybody has that Diak. There's one on Bava Basra also, right? I'm pretty sure it's a Raza Deshabsi on Bava Basra. Does anybody know offhand? I'll take a look.
I think there is.
If I remember correctly, they're on the three bubbas.
Yeah. That's why the three bubbas are so great. They knew that the three bubbas are so great, so they focused on the Raza Deshabsi for those three. Now, I want to make another point here. The Rabbeinu Yonasan Miluniel on our Gemara, I think, had just like an interesting ha'ara here, a very insightful point. Anybody get a chance to see this Rima Luniel in the Shita? So Zachariah, was that a head nod? Yeah, I think. Tell us what you found to be the most important part of this.
It is a very tricky read, so I'm not super confident, but this is what I got out of it. He presents, I think, there are like three main points. The first main point is he adjusts what we think of when we say the Shomer Chinam has an option. He seems to say that, so Shomer Chinam can even just, since he has no real duty to, as the underline says, we shouldn't ain't a love with Roach, because that's just notable, given that Rashba says the opposite. He says, but his alternative option, I might be reading this wrong, Imratz Lishan Lamafkid, Vuyasa Dini Maganav, the second line there, Vuyasa Dini Maganav, Vyotzi Minaganav, Via Hakefel Min Hashomer. So I thought this was saying, the min is really awkward, but I thought it was saying like, oh, if the Shomer Chinam kind of like, you know, like the classic Mishnah says like, oh, if he wants, he could pay off the Bailin Karen and then he could go through all the effort and chop the Kefel from the Ganav for himself. I have no idea what he's saying there. Also, I don't know if we pass him list of Mizuyum or Ganav that the Kefel. So I'm not sure what he's going on about there.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. It's an interesting Kefel question.
It's grammatically incoherent, but like whatever the line is, so I don't.
Yeah, really, kind of like I shall or man. Yeah, it's good. It's good hara.
Anyway, so
fine. I think the first. I want to focus on the first diag right now. So in a lot of the troach, he's just thinking like, you know, Shomer Chinam, like the Torah doesn't make him work as hard, right? Is that the sense that you're getting?
Yeah, or really do much of any active stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's almost like,
yeah, it's like put in my house, you know.
Right. I think you're quoting from the Rishon of Al Torah, right? That's like the Shomer Chinam paradigm is like, you have your chest of, you have your safe at home, put this in your safe with your stuff, right?
Right.
The moment there's like this active Shmira stuff, that's already beyond the purview of the Shomer Chinam. Almost right. On the Machane Ephraim earlier about a Shomer Sachar might have a Din Poel, but not a Shomer Chinam. Like that discussion.
Right.
So too here, right? You wouldn't, maybe there's no din, like active Shmira of a Shomer Chinam. Something
right. Like you have no, like the Baal HaBayis has no claim on the Shomer Chinam's time.
Yeah. Or like work energy, you know?
Yeah.
And but he says, but a Shomer Sachar is different. So why is Shomer Sachar different?
This is again also grammatically difficult. About in Shomer Sachar who Osa Imodin Klomar Imaganov Shiyitzbam Himenu V'Yishalim Lamafkid. So if you read this straight, you can read this as saying, okay, the Shomer Chinam, what is it? What is Osimo Din? It's kind of like the Rashba said, that he goes to the Ganav, has to go through the effort of being Tovei from the Ganav, collecting it, and then the Shomer Sachar hands that off to the Mafkid. There's no fronting costs. You could read it that way. You could read the Vishalim Lamafkid is just an awkward place, and it really means the Shomer had already paid to the Mafkid, and then it's like, I don't know. I think
yeah. The
is what he meant, given the next line.
The Remil O'Neill wouldn't get an A on like first year comp for, you know, he's got all these ambiguous clauses.
I'm not sure I want to put it at the feet of the Re. It's endemic to the Shitim and Gubetzes everywhere. It's like, unless he like specifically wanted to like be Matzil, all the grammatically challenged Rishonim. Like that's the goal of the Sefer. It's really astounding.
Yeah. What does he say in this? What does he say here? I mean, this is also grammatically confusing. What's the Yeshman Farshim?
Yeah, so I think I read the first one as the Rashba and the latter as the Rash as Rashi's. And Yeshman Farshim, Osei Modin, Kolomar Im Hamafkid, okay, an odd kind of read of the language. So when it's the Gemara means, oh, that the Shomer does din with the Mafkid, Osei Din Shel Pshia Umashalim Lo Below Torah. And he just, it's as if the Shomer was negligent and he just pays out to the Mafkid without like bothering him.
Right. Below Torah is a little weird meaning, but I think that means without imposing a tircha on the bialim.
Yeah. Lafi de cave on the shakla agra alav litrach anchiotim and aganav. Okay, that's very coherent. He's saying, like, listen, because since he's earning a wage, he has a responsibility to go to the effort to extract money from the ganav.
Yeah. So I think here we get this very sodistic distinction. Sorry, Cole. This fundamental distinction between the unpaid Bailey and the paid Bailey. Sorry, Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, right? It sounds like it's about one of them is burdened with tircha, the other one is unburdened with tircha responsibilities. That's because one of them, that has to do with the fact that you're receiving payment. So Shomer Sachar has this obligation of tircha to pursue the ganev and ensure that the bialim is not inconvenienced. The Shomer Chinam does not have that responsibility. And to my mind, it's hard to reduce this to Gneva Aveda versus Pshia liability. Maybe they're all symptoms of the same major point, but I think it's hard to say that this itself is explainable by Chiyuv for Pshia versus Chiyuv for Gneva Aveda. Evan, you have a hand up on this discussion?
Yeah, a few points. Number one, why does this have to break down to the distinguishing factor between Gneva Aveda and Shia? If it seems to be something like, at least if you read into the word like Hamafki, like something more fundamental, just like the kind of, I don't know, like the, like you said, like the Poel aspect to the Shomer, like, certainly there's more to this entire, you know, like the Bava Metzia other than just like Gneva Aveda versus Pshia.
I agree with you, Evan. I think that's right. I think, but right. I think, you know, when you're reading through the literature, you know, you don't get the sense of like, I'm waiting to see the article that says like, here are the differences, you know, Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar and
right.
Explains the differences. You know, I think most people follow the Mishnayos that kind of just say, Shomer Sachar is chayav for Gneva Aveda, and you know Shomer Chinam isn't. As if that's like the catch-all, or even as if that's like constitutive of the difference.
Right. So now, in contradiction to the point I just said, I think there is a way to see how you could understand this in light of maybe I wouldn't say it's Gneva Aveda versus Pshia, but at least not something else, which is that it's kind of just like this defaulting end of Shmira thing, where the Shomer Chinam's default end is like no money in, no money out. It kind of just ends. I think this is what we were talking, like the analogy with like the computer. thing. Like it just kind of just ends at some point. And so there's no more interaction between the Baal and the Shomer. Whereas the Shomer Sakar, it's sort of when the Shmira stuff ends. Right. And I guess the whole thing motivating this is that when the Gemara says Osimo Din, we're kind of not talking about Shmir anymore. So it's like Gabe's point, we're now just in a new kind of realm bounty hunters, just not related to Shmir at all. And then in that realm, right, unrelated to, you know, Shomer Sakhar, we just have this din of someone who gets paid needs to go reimburse his Baal, like kind of unrelated from the Shomer-ness of how this whole thing started.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I would say one way to look at it is through the lens that Gabe was saying, you know, like the mitzvah of pursuing the Aveda. Another lens is to look at it through what Shua was saying from the outset, which is like, oh, the Shomer Sakhar is like the insurance paradigm in the broader sense of like, yeah, his responsibility is more than the act of Shmira, right? It's also about ensuring that the item is given back to the Bialim. Right.
Right. I would say this, those two things could be separate, though. There could be Din Shmira, and there could be just as a general person, you have, and to like tie it back to the mitzvah, you have just like a mitzvah of like Hashavat Aveda. Like if I take something from you, at the end of the day, it's got to be returned. What I do in the interim is kind of filled in by the Shmira, by the Din Shmira.
I think that's a really excellent point. And then I think the natural place to go with this line of inquiry is to say, well, how many dinim are there? And not just dinim lamaisa, but conceptual principles. How many conceptual principles distinguish the Shomer Chinam from the Shomer Sakhar, right? So the type of risks it has to be protected from, right? That's the Gneva Veda versus Pshia. Whether the Shomer Sakhar is expected to put an effort to watch the thing, right? How hard is he supposed to work? Does he have a chiyuv like Hashavas Aveda, right, to get the thing back to the Bialim at all, at tircha to him? Is he like working as like an insurer on the thing or just as a protector? And I think it'd be really the natural place to go here is to say, like, try to find all the nafkamina and try to reconstruct what the explanation for the different nafkamina are and whether there are multiple explanations for the different nafkamina or they reduce to like a core principle. I think you're right that this analysis kind of pushes us in the direction of saying there are multiple principles to explain the differences. There's not like one theory of everything that explains Shomer Chinam versus Shomer Sakhar differences. Is that right, Evan?
Yeah,
good point. Great. I should say, like, Noah had to leave early, but it looks like Noah's going to be back for the rest of his Zman and June, right? Or part of June. Right, Zacharia?
I'm not sure. We didn't talk about it yet.
Yeah. I spoke to him briefly in the, I can't say on the recording, but before Chabura started, so at like 10:50 to 11, I was schmoozing with Noah, and it sounded like he's back, you know? All right. Okay, so I want to look at the Rama here, in the Shidun Kubetzes, in Kubchesim and Beis and Baba Kama. I think he has like a merger of what the Rashba was saying and what the Rimu Lemuel was saying. Let me get a chance to look at the Rama in the Shita. Shmuel, you got a chance to look at it? Yeah, so can you tell us big picture what he was saying, and then we'll look at it inside.
Yeah, so I think what he was doing, it seemed like he sort of disagreed with you a little. He was going at it, explaining the difference between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sakhar from the Ones Pshia point of view and showing how the Shomer Sakhar has more of an obligation. And by not doing that, it's Pshia.
Yeah, so he said a few interesting things. Let's see. Evan's got to go also. Where's everyone going today? We started off so strong. We had like so many people, and then like, you know, everyone's running out. Did we lose Evan already? Oh, he's gone. He's actually gone. So, all right, bye, Evan. So the Rama here says, look.
Tamar, I feel like what you're putting a Dr. Graf in here, like slowly kicking people out of the floor until nobody's left.
Yeah, I'm like sending them out of class. Yeah. Sure. Were you ever there when he kicked people out?
Yeah, I was there when he kicked himself out.
Right, that was the best. Those are the best, right? Yeah. You're not prepared. I'm not prepared.
Big win.
Right.
The bane of Shalalem. Get to the right. Point.
By the way, read Dr. Groff. I was thinking the Shita quotes a lot of the Meiri. Shita the Betzes quotes a lot of the Meiris. You noticed that? I think that counters the argument that he has in the third volume. I don't know if anybody read it yet. But if you read it, his point is like nobody really cared about the Meiri until like the 20th century. But you have to explain how the Meiri features so prominently in the Shita then. That's something to think about. Maybe it's forthcoming, Shua Mermelstein and Itmar Rosenzweig et al. And I don't know.
I can share the wealth. Someone else can take this one if you want.
All right. So yeah, good. So Shmuel, you're right. In the first line here, the Rama says, Kol hechad yachalasos dinim aganiv, kiman delo nensa damya, v'im lo asa imo din havile kipshia, v'afilu shamar chinam chayiv. That's a really interesting view. And I think that just works with the Rashba's theory of tchilaso kisofo, or sofo kitchilaso. We shouldn't think of pshia, right, Shmuel? We shouldn't think of pshia as just ex ante. It's pshia ex post to not try to do your as much due diligence as you can to recover the thing, right? So you can imagine, you know, you come to the guy and say, where's my Rolex that you were watching? And he says, oh, it was stolen. And you say, well, did you like call the police? Did you file a police report, right? Even ex post, you would expect him to do the things that he ought to do. Okay. But then he says, same for a Shomer Sachar. Even though, so what's he saying here?
Tam and Demilsa, the Kol Hecha, the Asher, the Torah, Mishkach, Lav, Oneso.
Yeah. Same theory as you said for the Shomer Hinam, right? Even ex post, so long as you could pursue the thing. It's not Ones if it's recoverable ex post, the Geneva or the taking. Okay. But then he says, so this all sounds just like the Rashba's ex ante is like ex post. So there's no reason to distinguish between a Shomer Hinam and a Shomer Sachar. But he wants to explain the Gemara in Bava Kamma, which says that there is an important difference, right? When the Shomer Hinam takes a Shvu already, then he's not chayiv to pursue the thing ex post facto. Whereas a Shomer Sachar is chayiv to pursue the thing ex post facto, even if he took a Shvu already. Correct, Shmuel?
Yes, sounds right.
Okay. So what does he say to that? This is and this is where he comes into Rimilu Neil territory. He says, let's see. Yeah. He says, when a Shomer Sachar takes a Shvua.
A Shomer Sachar lo miftar ela ba'onsen.
Everyone should pay close attention to this. This is a very important line in the Ramah.
V'chi ka mehenya lehu shvua lav lemaftarei legamrei ka mahane le ela berurei deba'ones gneva.
Gneva, yeah. So the important line here is saying, when a shomer sachar takes a shvua that was taken ba'ones, that doesn't extinguish his liabilities and responsibilities. It's just to clarify the mitzias that an ones occurs. It's evidentiary, okay? But it doesn't extinguish or satisfy shmira obligations. All it means is that for the time being, he's not liable. That's all the shmira that's all the shvu of a shomer sachar does. Vakati lo kolsale shmirasa. And therefore, the Shomer Sachar has a duty to mitrach basra, to pursue the item, even ex post. By contrast, here's the crucial line. You want to take a stab at it, Shmuel?
V'ilu Shomer Chinam kevan deba'adayin shvua lo havia.
V'idan shvua, when he took his shvua.
Lo havia pshiata, because there was no pshia then. Misha Shua Kalso La Shmirato. So at the time he did the Shvua, his Shmira is considered, it's finished.
Once he takes his Shvua, right, that extinguishes his Shmira. So I think this is a core distinction between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. And he's saying, look, in principle, both the Chiyuv, you could be Poshea ex post by not pursuing it. You could be considered non-ones ex post by not pursuing it. So both the Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar in principle could have a duty to pursue the Ganav. Why then do we say that a Shvua extinguishes the Shomer Chinam's responsibility to pursue it, but it doesn't extinguish the Shomer Sachar's responsibility? So what's the difference?
Tircha?
He does say Tircha. Yeah, there's something about just the difference between the Shomrim, where the Torah says that the Shomer Chinam's responsibilities come to an end once he's Shvua, he's Nishba Shalo Pashava. Whereas Shomer Sachar's obligations carry on beyond that, right? They don't terminate or become extinguished at the Shvua. Maybe like Shua said, maybe like Gabe said, there's just deeper types of responsibilities that bind to the Shomer Sachar that do not bind to the Shomer Chinam. And I think it's very clear in the Ramah here that this is not about Pshia versus Chiyuv Gneva Aveda, because he's very clear that in principle both of those could extend ex post as well. Thoughts on this? Shua, what do you think of the Ramah?
I'm very happy with this. I didn't see this before, Chabura, but this is, I think it works really well with what I said before, that there's like this, the Shomer Sachar has this kind of, has a different flavor of responsibility than the Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam, like, right, like the Shomer Sachar, until the thing goes back, like he still has some relationship and he could like maybe avoid paying for stuff and there could be like no, you know, outcome necessarily, but it's still kind of like there.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to, we have six. Oh, Gabe, yeah, go for it.
Nothing so important to say, but we haven't spoken so much about the role of.
How do you like the Ramah?
I like the Ramah. I like the Ramah a lot. I think it's neat. And I think what we need to sort of maybe pin down a little better is the function of a Shvua for Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, which we haven't spoken much about. But it seems like Shomer Chinam in many ways is a fulfillment of the Shomer's duties. It's sort of like the end of his achrayos, or end of his contract, which he discharges by taking a Shvua. And the Shvua, it's like some almost inherent in a Shomer Chinam to take a Shvua when something like that happens, whereas for Shomer Sachar, it's just like verifying some kind of information, but it's not serving a sacred.
Yeah,
I would just say I agree, but I would, I think this is like something to highlight is maybe Rava's shita on Bava Kama is that that's not true, right? And that Rava's shita is that the Shomer Chinam's Shvua functions more like what we're describing here, and that's why if you haven't sworn yet, it's not like an option for you, right? Because it's not like it's like the equivalent of your you know, like your responsibility to return the thing. Whereas like otherwise, I think for any of the other kind of like articulations of this difference between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, this is probably right.
Yeah, the very interesting back and forth. And I would say, I think this does really open very important questions about the role of the Shmira, the role of the Shvua across these different Shomrim. I'm trying to steer clear of getting sucked into the black hole of Shvua issues, because it's once you get into Shvua issues, you can't come out without getting into you know all these related Shvua questions. So I'm trying to like keep us as neatly in this question about Shomer Chinam versus Shomer Sachar without getting mired in the role of the Shvua in them. Yeah, but I totally agree with your point, Gabe. We have 5 minutes or 4 minutes. I want to just mention one other nafkamina. That really covers what I wanted to cover on up to the next Mishnah. I want to throw out one other nafkamina between the Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar that actually comes up in the next Mishnah. We'll talk about it more carefully on Thursday, but it'll be nice just to see these three nafkamina together today. So the Mishnah says, on Tzadikim Lamed Beis, talking about the definition of an ones. One thing that the Mishnah defines as an ones is, or as a non-ones, is Sugfa Umesa. Anybody know what Sugfa Umesa is in the Mishnah? It says Sugfa Umesa Eino Ones.
If you like beat the animal too hard while you're working it?
Yeah, Rashi says, Ina Bera'av, Ohemida Bekayetz Bechama, Ubechoref Bitsina. I mean, you abuse the thing. You abuse the animal, right? So you starve it, you leave it out in the sun. That's clearly not an ones, right? So all the Rishonim go crazy here and they say, obviously, like, why would abusing the animal be an ones, right? It's a fair question. So you can see all the Rishonim object to this. Tosa says, Tosa and Tzadi Gimel, Tema. Dipshita dipshia gemurahu. It's so obvious. It's a pshia gemurahu. What's the Mishnah telling us? Yeshlomar, the kamash malam da filu yesh litlos velomar shemesar gam b'shvil davar acher, afilu hachi chayev delo hayalo l'sagfa. Very interesting. Even if there could have been a different cause of death, once you, like, even though it could have been an ones, once you breach this level of pshia, we're going to be tola the death on the pshia. Almost like a tchilas of a pshia sofa bones type discussion. Okay. Why is this related to Shomer Chinam versus Shomer Safar? So the Nesivis here, oh yes, the Magen Mishnah. Let's record this quickly. Yeah. Okay. So the Rabbeinu Yonasan says, and this gets picked up by the Magen Mishnah, the following. Even if it dies a year later, okay? So there's no real way to establish that it died from this sugfa. But if it's if it dies like a year later, we say Shema Oso Yom She'ina Osa Birav O B'Shemesh O B'Tzina Nolad B'Mocha O B'Riasa Choli Shemimena Himesa Lachar Shmon Yom Chodesh Hashana. Yeah, so we say that once there's this pshia, we don't say that a different thing caused its death. We'll be tola its death on the pshia of the shomer. Now, the Magen Mishnah quotes this, and there's machlokas in the achronim whether this would apply to both a shomer chinam and to a shomer safar. The Prisha quotes this view, and says, oh, the answer is, so he says, Tema pshita dipshia gemurahi. So why is Sugfa Mesa chiddush that it's in our own ass? Yishlomar to kamash malan, afilam yish litlos, vilomar shemes gam bishvil davracha, afilu hachi chayv, lo havle le Sugfa. Umishum hachi lo kosva rabbeinu le'el b'shomer chinam. Divadai shomer chinam, kivin de lo mesa miyad, o she yish litlos b'davar acher talinan. You guys see this Prisha? The Prisha says, and we'll pick up with this next time, that this notion of being tola the death on a pshia is unique to a shomer sachar. In the exact same fact pattern, we wouldn't be tola the death on the pshia in a shomer chinam case, even though a shomer chinam is chai for pshia. So think about that, right? Like, why should that be? The Prisha himself says that it's because, it has to do with whether you're chayav in the Tirusa Ma'alya. Then you have to ask yourself, why is that relevant to the Shomer Chinam, Shomer Safar? Okay, so we'll pick up with this discussion on Thursday. What I want us to do is we'll start with the Mishnah on Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. We'll go till the Mishnah on Sadi Dalet Amid Aleph. I'm a little on the fence, maybe you guys want to weigh in very quickly now, whether we should do the Mishnah on Sadi Dalet till the end of the Perek, and then go back to Socher questions, or do Socher and then the Mishnah on Sadi Dalet. I don't think it really matters much, but it might be nice just to finish the Perek and then do the Socher questions. But I don't have strong feelings about it.
No preference.
All right. Shkoyach, guys. See you all on Thursday with the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel Beis. Staff for the great discussion today. Bye-bye.